the work of the Holy Spirit can be very disconcerting. It can take what we are used to on a day-to-day basis and make us very afraid. Afraid because we may not understand exactly what's going on. Perhaps that's the way you feel at this moment, having heard the scripture in every language but your own. Unless perhaps you spoke Polish or French or German. These are languages that we can learn. But the mystery of the Holy Spirit is that on that day of Pentecost, those first disciples began to speak languages which they had not learned. They began to speak a language that was totally out of character for them. In fact, they began to speak languages in a way unlike what I just did, because walking down the aisle, my stomach started to get more and more nervous, not having publicly read Polish since I was a child. And yet, that is the point of this day, that the Holy Spirit is capable of helping us overcome every fear we can possibly know. With the English version of today's gospel lesson, we heard how Jesus told us not to be afraid. Do not let our hearts be afraid. And it seems that fear is at the very root of our human experience. In fact, more often than not, I think it is the wisdom of Holy Scripture that shows to us that fear is usually our first reaction to anything new in our lives. Go back to the beginning of the story of Jesus. When Gabriel announces to Mary that she is to become the mother of the Redeemer, words are spoken to the effect, "Fear not." And then, to the shepherds, we hear words of the angels again. Heavenly chorus is saying, "Fear not." It is the constant and abiding message of the scriptures all through the Old Testament as well as the New, that it is God who tells us not to be afraid. And yet most of us find that to be our first and primal response to just about anything new that comes along in life. When we are born, we are quickly taught to be afraid. Be afraid of a hot stove. Be afraid of things that could threaten our well-being. And as we grow older, we begin to understand that maybe we need to be even more afraid. Afraid, perhaps, of someone coming into our house. And so we're taught to lock the doors. Someone stealing what's in our car, much less our automobile itself, and so we are told to lock the doors. The disciples gathered in the upper room, and Jesus appears to them even though they had locked the doors for fear. Fear of the Jews, it says in John's Gospel. But we begin to understand that it is not simply because of the Jewish faith. That's not it at all, because they were themselves Jews. But rather, to be afraid of someone who is not like us. Someone who believes differently than we. Someone who is outside of our clan, our group, our tribe. Be afraid of the other. Lock the door. But in typical fashion, God vindicates the message of Jesus. Jesus, who has conquered even the thing we must be most afraid of in our life, more than being afraid of losing something we possess, more than being afraid of losing someone we love, Jesus overcame our greatest fear, the fear of death itself. And if Jesus can do this, what else do we need to be afraid of? In this political season in particular, we begin to understand how most of what is being talked about really is to focus not on our higher angels, our higher purposes, our higher values, but focus on our fears. Fears again of the outsider. Fears of someone doing us bodily harm. Fear is the machine that keeps it going. That, my friends, is the way of the world. It is not the way of God's kingdom. The way of God's kingdom are these words: do not fear. Do not be afraid. That's a very high bar for us to measure up to, because I am afraid, here I said the word, there are real things that pose real dangers to our well-being, and of these we are justifiably afraid. And we need to be reasonable, and we need to take measures that will at least provide us with a bit of security so that we can rest, so that we can grow, so that we can develop. The difference is to see whether or not it is fear that is deeply embedded in our hearts and that begins to influence absolutely everything that we do. The antidote to that fear is to see how boldly we can move forward. That's what those first disciples did. They were locked in the room for fear, and yet as the Holy Spirit came upon them, as Jesus came to them and breathed the Holy Spirit upon them, whichever narrative you want to follow, they left that room. And they went out into the world and they proclaimed a message that said they were no longer afraid. They were no longer afraid of the Romans. They were no longer afraid of the Jewish authorities. They were no longer afraid even of death itself, so that they came to the point where they could give the last measure of their devotion as they laid down their life for Jesus and the way, the manner of life that Jesus prescribed for them became the way to eternal life. And it is the power of the Spirit that is able to cut through all of the nonsense of our world and come down into the very fiber of our hearts, into our spirit, into our souls, to give us a spirit of courage, to give us a spirit of wisdom, to give us a spirit of strength, to give us a spirit of knowledge, to give us a spirit of the fear of the Lord, to give us a spirit willing to go from this place and to proclaim boldly that which we have already received. We have received of the immense love of God. Jesus has paid the price for our sins. He has overcome the bonds of death. And now the Spirit is sent upon us so that we can go from the security of our locked rooms out into the world to proclaim a word that the world craves, a word that the world wants, even if it is a word that they ultimately may reject. We are to speak the language that they need to hear. It may not be a language that we can learn, like German, or French, or Spanish, or Polish. The language we need to learn is the language of the heart. St. Augustine, many centuries ago, said that praying and conversing among disciples is, as he said it in Latin, cor ad cor loquitur, heart speaking unto heart. It isn't the words that we use, but the love that we show. It isn't the language we craft together, but rather it is the way in which we respect the dignity of every human being. It isn't the fancy rhetoric that we can come up with, it is the fact that we get down and get our hands dirty, taking care of one another in such a way that people out there see they're different. Somehow they're not us. And they are not afraid of us, but rather want to know what's at the heart of it. And we can turn to them and say, it is Jesus that is in our heart. And it is because of Jesus that we love one another so, that we can lay down our lives for one another, and that in fact, we can lay down our lives for you. That's the hard message. That's the message that we can't come up with on our own. But when we hear ourselves saying those words, it is the very heart of God speaking. For that is the core of the gospel. To love one another as I have loved you. And then to hear the same voice say to us, no greater love has anyone but to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus came to show us that our friends are not only those who speak our language, that our friends are not only those who live our lifestyle, that our friends are not only those with whom we are comfortable and feel safe and secure, but our friendship needs to extend to every nation in the world, every tribe, every people, every class, every race, every ethnicity. Every division known to humanity needs to fall before the very love of Christ. And that Christ charges you and me this day, this Pentecost day, to hear that language. Not a language we can learn in a school book, but a language that can only be learned at the feet of Jesus. The language heart spoken unto heart. A language that puts away all fear. A language that is able to envelop us and the world with the immense love of God. On this Pentecost day, we celebrate the coming of the Spirit. Not for the first time, not actually for any particular time forever, but forever, from the very beginning, as we heard on the first day of this Eastertide, how the Spirit of God moved over the waters at the creation of the world. It is that same Spirit that lives in us. It is that same Spirit which can change and transform our world by changing and transforming our hearts so that we learn a language that only the Spirit can speak, and we can in earnest speak heart unto heart. What will you do this day to make that language real? Whom will you encounter? Whose heart will you touch? How will you be changed and transformed as those first disciples in the Spirit of Almighty God? Brothers and sisters, we are called not only to believe, but more importantly, we are called to love. A love firmly rooted in faith in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. A love that is the very presence of the Spirit among us, that can bind us together in a way unimaginable by any worldly mind. Bind us together, for we are bound in the heart of Christ Himself.